Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Beit. So, I'm wondering how far we should go. Okay, we'll see how it goes. So says the Halakha Mishnah. Kol HaKodashim. We've been talking about the schus of the kohanim. Earlier in the parak, we discussed the inyanim of who is zeicha to the basim. We've switched off to talking about who is zeicha to the orot. So now the shaila is, what happens if there's a psul to the korban? Do the kohanim still get the basim? You would think that this follows very clearly from the Mishnah earlier. The Gemara is going to ask that, since it says wherever the Mizbeach didn't get the schus to the Basar, they don't get the schus to the Orot, all to be discussed in the Gemara. So if the psul occurs to the Korban before the Or was removed, then Ein Orotehem Lekohanim, and the din of the Or is the same as the din of the Basar. If the din of the Basar is that it's supposed to be burned, you just burn the Or together with it. But what happens if we already did the Hefshet, and then something happens to the Basar? So then, Orotehem Lekohani, then the Or is not made Pasul just because the Basar is Pasul, and therefore it would be kosher. Omer goes to the Kohen. I got to tell you, said Rabbi Chanina, miyomai lo ra'iti or shiyar tzila bet asreifa. I never saw such a thing. I never saw an or, as we're going to see in the Gemara, what that means is I never saw an or that was mufshat. And it should on its own, obviously I saw plenty of times or on the animal bin yotze, but I never saw or that was already separated from the animal, was already skinned, that I never saw. Shiyotse lebeit asreifa. Amar Rabbi Akiva, well, if that's the case, we could derive from what Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim said, that even in the case of a Bechor, and we're going to see in the Gemara that this is actually referring to a Bechor Baal Mum and so on, but it's going to take us some time to get to that. So I see from here that if a Bechor was stripped of its skin, and then as they are butchering it, it turns out to be a trefa in a way that would not have been recognizable before, but was clearly there from before. Let's say we find a hole in the lungs or in the intestines and so on. Now, the din would be that the kohanim can still use the or that was separated, even though clearly it had been a trefa before. So if the Rabbi Chanina's kohanim said, I never saw such a thing, obviously, it's one thing to say that there was a problem that became, the korban became pasul. But if you're talking about a trefa, so then, I mean, that can happen all the time. Trefas are not that uncommon. And so many of the trefas, almost all of the trefas, wouldn't be detectable from the outside. So any time that a behemoth is a trefa, Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim should have actually seen that the or was taken out and was burned, because they did the Hefshet as usual, after the Shrita, after the Zrika, everything was fine, nobody knew anything was wrong. So how could Rabbi Chanina say he never saw or that was Mufshat that went out Lebet HaSreifa? That must mean that if we find a trefa ex post facto, which was definitely there before, doesn't make any difference. And the Kohanim still would get the or, and that's not considered to be Nifsal before the Zrika. We'll see all about this in the Gemara. The Chachomim omrin, I don't know what this is supposed to mean, say the Chachomim. When he says, I never saw it, what does that prove? When you don't see something, it doesn't prove anything. When you do see something, it proves something. So you can't tell me that this has never happened just because you weren't around when it happened. And therefore, we disagree. The din is that yetze lebeit asreifa, and if it was actually pasul before it was skinned, in this case, if it was a trefa, it was pasul even before it was nishkat. So why wouldn't the or be yotze lebeit asreifa? Now, first of all, the whole Mishnah doesn't make sense, right? I mean, the Mishnah before said exactly the din. You can't get more clear than that. And if Lamaisa, it doesn't say anything about when the hefshet of the or took place. We don't care when the hefshet of the or took place. All we care about is that the schus to the Kohanim, it says in that Mishnah, is dependent on the schus of the Mizbeach. So, like, how all of a sudden does this Mishnah, which is the seifa of that Mishnah, like, all of a sudden change its mind? Well, let's analyze who the Manti Amrim are that are involved over here. So, money. When we said in that Mishnah that it doesn't make any difference when the hefshet of the yard took place, if the Mizbeach doesn't get the boss of the Kohanim, don't get it. Whose sheet is that? That is the sheet of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says, in ein basar, ein dan. We're going to see. So he holds that you never are meratza on or bifnei atzmo. And therefore, if the basar is not able to be kosher for the Mizbeach based on this Zrika, as Zrika doesn't do anything for the or on its own, so that's what the first Mishnah was saying as a Dover Poshet. If, bottom line, the Mizbeach didn't get that meat, I don't care at what point it is, that would mean that you cannot be Zurich the Dam on the or, and for sure, if you're not Zurich the Dam on the or, then it remains Usser, and it doesn't belong to the Kohanim. Now, let's take a look at the Mishnah that we just read, and clearly it doesn't hold that. Ema Seifa. Kola Kodashim, Shir Abahem Psul, Kodem Efshitan. Only in the event that the Psul happened to the Busser before the or was moved shot. Then un oroteim the Kohanim. So what does that mean? As long as the or is connected to the basar, the or gets the same din as the basar. If the basar is basar, the or is basar. But let's say that the or was removed before, and the psul happened, let's say the basar became tame. So we would still do the zrika and allow the Kohanim to have that or, because the zrika was done to be matu the or to the Kohanim. It says here, beferish, la'achar efshetan, oroteihem l'kohanim. Now, who's that Mandi Amar? That is Rebbe. We're going to see this machlokas later. And Rebbe says that dam is meratza on or bifnei atzmo. I don't care if there's no basar to be meratza on. We're not going to be mafsid the Kohanim. We do Zrika in order to be matir the or for the Kohanim. Now, does this make sense to you? That the Reisha is basically in neon lights. It's telling me we hold like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and if you can't do a heter on the basar to the Mizbeach, then there's no way to be matir the or. I don't care whether the or is connected or not connected. That is all clearly going according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. And then our Mishnah in neon lights is saying, no, no, absolutely not true. The or, as long as it's connected to the basar, has the same din as the basar, which is Rebbe Shita, but the moment that it's disconnected from the basar, if we would need to do Zerika now for the R, even though the basar became Tame, was Yotze, whatever, we would still do the Zerika for the R. How do you explain that? Omer Abaye, well, what I would say is that, look, if the latter case that we just had, our Mishnah, if it's going according to Rebbe, then it makes sense that the entire Mishnah was going according to Rebbe. And let me restate the Reisha in a way that makes it perfectly reasonable, even according to Rebbe. Look, it's certainly true that if you would have done a Zrika, and that Zrika was done only from the or, that had been mufshat from the animal before the meat became tummy, let's say, right? But tell me something. How often does a case like that happen? Tell me how often you think it happens that we would do the hefshet before we do the zrika. Almost never, for a very simple reason. Remember that we're very worried about krishas hadam. As soon as we're mekabel the dam, in the event that you absolutely cannot do the Zrika immediately. We've had a few cases like that. Let's say the Kohen got on the Yom Kippur, he's got to do other things first. Okay, he has to give it to somebody else to sit there and stir the dam so it doesn't start coagulating. You can't use the dam once it's coagulating. So Obviously, the first thing that we do after the Kabbalah Saddam is the Zrika Saddam. Nobody in his right mind would go and now start doing the long operation of Hefshet. I mean, that's not an easy thing. So in order to do the Hefshet, it just is not going to happen. I'm not saying it can't happen theoretically, but why would our Mishnah bother talking about the difference between before Hefshet and after Hefshet if it ain't ever going to happen that way? There's never a case of before Hefshet. Therefore, since according to Rebbe, Dam, that is Nizrak, yes, it's true, it could be Nizrak alone on the Or. But remember that the other part of Rebbe Shita is that as long as the Or is on the Basar, it has the same din as the Basar. So the truth is, as we're going to see, that Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon differ about both of those points. So that it's true, according to Rebbe, I don't care what the din is of the Or, because the Or always gets the din of the Basar. So then that would mean that it makes no difference whether the Basar had been kosher for a minute, but Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon actually is makel in that. He's machmir that I will not do Zrika if it's only on Or. But he's makel, as we're going to see later on, that in the event that the Zrika was good for a minute, and now the Basar becomes tame, let's say, right? Then even though the Or is connected to it, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says, so what? Who cares if the Or is connected to it? The Or doesn't matter if it becomes tummy. So strip the Or and give it to the Kohanim. So in the one hand, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon is Mekel more than Rebbe. And on the other hand, he's Machmir. Okay, so Lemaisa, if I said in the first part of the Mishnah that in the event that the Or was stripped, I'm going to start making the nafkamina when it never happens. So I don't talk about it. So all I said was, as long as the basar is kosher for the mizbeah, that's true. Because Rebbe is moda that in practical, logistical terms, moda Rebbe she'ain hefshet kodem zrika. Since it's not going to happen, the Mishnah doesn't bother talking about it, but it still works out perfectly well, according to Rebbe. Rava said, I think it's just the opposite. I would say that since the reisha is going, according to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, that sets the tone for the Mishnah as a whole. And that would mean that the Seifa also has to be going according to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. And that means that even if I had Or that was Mufshad before something happened to the Basar, I still would not be able to do Zrika, right? Because according to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, I don't do Zrika in the event that there is no kosher basar, and over here the basar became tame. I'm not going to do the zrika. So then why did the Mishnah say kodem hefshet, if it doesn't make any difference? Because even if it came pasul, kodem hefshet, acher hefshet would be exactly the same. I'm not going to do it just for the Or. The meaning of kodem hefshet and acher hefshet is not that he actually was hefshet. It means kodem sheniru lehefshet. Once it was roi, even if it was for 5 minutes, once it was roi, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, and now I could have done Hefshet, this is the kula of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So if I could have done Hefshet, he doesn't agree with Rebbe, yeah, but now it became puzzle and it's tummy, who cares? There was a minute that I did Zrika, the Zrika was matir the Or. Now, can I give it to the Kohanim? Absolutely, give it to the Kohanim. It's only Rebbe who says you can't give it to the Kohanim if it's still attached to the Basar. So the only important thing, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, is not the actual Hefshet. In effect, what the Mishnah is saying is, if there was a moment that this Or was roi lehefshet, meaning that the Basar was kosher for that minute, and I did the Zrika, I don't care if afterwards it was Yotze or afterwards it was Nitma, basically, go ahead now and give it to the Kohanim, which means that that both Mishnayos work out perfectly well, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. There's no contradiction. If you do a kosher Zrika, both Mishnayos are saying, you do a kosher Zrika, and the Basar was Zerch, the Mizbeach was Zerch to the rights of that Basar, you now are able to give the Or to the Kohanim. Okay, look, you know, we've been talking about this machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon as if everybody knows what that machlokas is. How about all the people in the peanut gallery out there that never heard about this machlokas? I mean, wouldn't it be nice to tell them? Okay, okay. My Rebbe, my Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. The Tanya. Here's the makor of that machlokas. Rebbe Omer, Hadam Miratze ala or b'fnei atzmo. So the first din of Rebbe is, I don't care if there is busser that I'm being miratze on. If I have or by itself and it's been skinned, then I can be zorek the dam on it and give it to the kohen. But as long as it's attached to the busser, then it has the same din as the busser. And I don't care whether the zurika had been done and was already matirit and now it became puzzle, or whether the zurika wasn't done. Makes no difference to me. The bottom line is, I am very machmir on this point, says Rebbe. I'm makel, more makel than Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, about whether you can do a zurika if the or is the only surviving part of the carbon. Yes, I am makel. But on the other hand, I'm machmir. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, he claims that if the zurika was matir, that or and busser for a moment, so then it doesn't matter if afterwards a psul occurs to the busser. I disagree. I say as long as the or is attached to the busser, it's secondary to the busser, has exactly the same dinim that the busser had. And that would mean that tishuhu ima basar, as long as it's attached to the actual basar of the korban, then no lad bo psul. I don't care whether it's before zrika, I don't care whether it's liachar zrika, all I care about is let's look at the din of the basar, and the or that's connected to that basar is exactly the same. Hareyu ki yotzibo. So this is Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, amen? Well, I disagree on both items. First of all, I say, if you don't have any busser in that carbon, or any emurim, there's nothing that you need to be maratz on, and all that's left is or. Well, we don't do ezrikas hadam on or bifnei atzmo. And therefore, there's no way if the busser became nifsal, let's say became tomei or was yotzei, so then there's nothing that I can do with this. Even if it was no longer connected, it's my problem is not the fact that it's connected or not. That's irrelevant to me. My problem is, was there a zrika to be matir this or not? And in that, I'm machmir. And I say, you cannot do that zrika because zrika is done for the carbon. It's not done for the or. And therefore, the kohenim are never going to get that or. So, in a damaratza la or bifnei atzmo. But on the other hand, if it's attached to the busser, I'm makel. Because, okay, if the zrika was never a good zrika because there was a psul in the busser before the zrika, so then I agree, yeah, then you can't be matirit. And effectively, that's the same thing that Rebbe said on that particular case, that hareyu ki yotzibo. But if the zrika was done and now it becomes psul, then as long as there was 2 minutes, whereas 1 second, where wurtza busser shorachas, then the busser was kosher at that moment. The or became kosher. The zrika was done. Now you're telling me, yeah, but it's 3 hours later now. I don't care. Go ahead and do the hefshet and give it to the kohanim. What's the difference? So this is very interesting because we know that there's a fascinating machlokas, which are the doras before Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that seems to be the same issues. Because there is that famous question, how do I read the pasuk? Now, remember the pasuk in Re'e that we've spoken about several times. V'asita olotecha habasar v'hadam. Weird, isn't it? Habasar v'hadam? I mean, what comes first, the basar or the dam? The dam, obviously, is the thing that's matter the basar. For some reason, the pasuk begins with the words, V'asita olotecha habasar v'hadam amizbach Hashem alokecha. And then the same pasuk, in the end of the pasuk says, so weird, V'dam zevachecha yishafech amizbach Hashem alokecha v'habasar tochel. So like, here it says, do the zrika first, dam zevachecha yishafech, and at that moment, you get a schus to the basar. But when it comes to the asiyah, the asita lotecha, basar can come before dam. Now, what does that mean? So that was a big machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua in the Dairis before the machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, which were the last Dairis of the Tanoim, essentially. The the list of the 100% Tanoim Dairas. So take a look at the Braita. Titania. V'asita olotecha habasar v'hadam. So what does that mean? So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, what it's coming to tell you is that if you don't have basar, you don't have dam. That's the point. Because obviously you have to do the dam before the basar. So the pasuk, by telling you, well, look first at the basar before you look at the dam, is telling me you can't do the zrika of that dam if you don't have any basar to be matir. So if something happened to that basar, then there's nothing to do. So it goes in that direction. So im, it's true that im ein basar. So Rabbi Yeshua says, im ein dam ein basar. But it's also true. That's for sure. Because that I know from the end and from what we've learned all before in Vayikra. This is in Dvarim. This is in Re'ei. So also, however, there's a big chiddush here. Im ein basar ein dam. That's the chiddush. Look at the basar before you decide if you can bezurate the dam or not. Now, there's a difference, gentlemen, as we're going to see, between is there basar or is there kosher basar? In other words, the pasuk definitely is saying, according to the way that Rabbi Yeshua understands it, that im ein basar ein dam, that if there is literally no basar, then you can't be zorek the dam. But how about if there is basar, but the basar was pasul, but it was tameh, or it was yotze? So what about then? Is it still true that im ein basar ein dam? So the truth is, yes, it is still true. But we're going to see that there's an afkamina between the two cases about lechatchila or b'diavad. Certainly, lechatchila, Rabbi Yeshua holds, there is no zrika if there's no basar to be matir. But keep in your mind the fact that there may be a difference in terms of the bidiyavad, and that's going to make a difference in how we understand the machlokas here, as it's applicable to the difference in the later machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so im ein basar ein dam, and Rabbi Eliezer says, no, why not? Even if there's no basar, you can still be zorek the dam, because read on, my friend. What does it say at the end of the pasuk? V'dam zevachecha yishafech v'habasar tochel. So I don't understand. If habasar tochel, it's telling me, look, I mean, that's the secondary issue. But you can put that dam on the mizbeach, even though you first said, we said basar v'dam in the beginning. But over here, it's talking about the dam separately, because we're not talking mashma. Even though I just told you asito lotecha basava adam, in all circumstances, dam zvechecha yishafech, you see? So, obviously, it's not true that im ein basar ein dam. So I hold dam afapisha ein basar. And if you'll say, im kein, why does the Torah say asito lotecha basava adam, which is backwards? That is to tell me the halacha that we learned earlier in the Masechet, to teach me that just like dam has to be done bizrika, af basar is bizrika. What does that teach us? Remember, it teaches us that when we make the kevesh and we fit the kevesh in like a jigsaw over the edge of the mizbeach so that it comes up to the top of the mizbeach, it doesn't actually come up to touch the top. And that was all the circus that we had about revach yesh beina kevesh lemizbeach, which is b'chayiv you an act of zrika through the air, similar to what you would do with dam. Okay, that was circus that we had before that were very important to us because of other issues as well. So it teaches us that revach yesh bein kevesh lemizbeach, but it does not teach us what you say, that there's got to be basar before you can be zurek the dam. So now, it seems that this is similar to the machlokas that we have here between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Because, look, Rebbe Shita, he says that it's hurtza just for the or, right? Even if the basar is pasul. So he would be going according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer Reb Shimon says, Rebbe Eliezer, who says that the dam is even if there is no parser. He argues with Rabbi Yoshua. Mashenkin Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, no, if you have the or on its own and it was removed, it was skinned, he holds like Rabbi Yoshua, because he says you do not give dam if you don't have any kosher basar to be matut and mizbeach. It sounds like it's the same machlokas. Says the Gemara, no, it is definitely not the same machlokas. Actually, both Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon could be arguing here aliba the shita of Rebbe Yoshua, who holds him ain't basar ain't dam. Let me show you how. If you're going aliba the Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Eliezer holds that Zrika was Zorik the dam, even though the basar is pasal, he says, you could do the Zrika, forget about it, but it's pasal. You could bet about it even if there is no basar at all. So what does that mean? That means, according to Rebbe Eliezer, there's nothing to discuss. Zrika is a completely normal Zrika, even if you don't even have any basar. So for sure, I mean, what am I doing it for? It's for sure being matir, the R, that's for sure. And the truth is, even Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon would have said, well, I'm not going according to Rebbe Eliezer. Obviously, I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer holds it's a normal Zrika. How would I tell you that it's usher? What, am I crazy? I'm not arguing with according to him. I was only going according to Rebbe Yoshua. And Rebbe says, well, I'm also going according to Rebbe Yoshua. I'm saying that what you understand in Rebbe Yoshua, that im ein basar ein dam, that would mean that we would never be matir the or with Zrika. I'm saying that that's not true. How could it not be true? Well, let's take a look. Ki pligi aliba Rebbe Yoshua. The one who says that mandi omer lo hurtza. Okay, that clearly is very simple. According to Rebbe Yoshua, I say, says Rebbe Eliezer, that's exactly, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yoshua, that's exactly what he said. I'm just following Rebbe Yoshua. I don't know what you're arguing about. And Rebbe says, no, I disagree. Because I say that even though I tell you that it's Hurtza when there was a psul in the basar, I'm telling you that that din of Rebbe Yoshua, he was talking only about a case. L'kohamer Rebbe Yoshua Hasam, Ela bibasar. The lekap seder l'kohani. What he was saying is, look, if you are about to be zorik the dam, and now this owner, he wants to get away with murder. He says, listen, go ahead and zorik the dam. That way my oila will be kosher. So what if you couldn't bring the basar on the mizbeach? But there's still the dam to be matir the ors to go to the zrika, and then I'm in good shape, and I don't have to bring another korban ola. Will you save me a few hundred bucks, please, and go ahead and bring this dam? No. So over there we say, listen, the Torah was talking about you, sir. You're going to have to bring a new korban. So therefore, at this point, do the Kohanim own this or? No. At this point, they don't have anything in that or. They're only going to get that or after Zrika. So I'm not causing any kind of hefsa to the Kohanim in this case. So why should I do it? There's nothing for me to be Zorik for. But how about in a case where we were Zorik the Dam, and now if I'm going to say, well, yeah, you were Zorik the Dam, that's all very nice, but there was no Basar because the Basar was treif. There was no Basar. The Basar was Pasol from Yotze and what, and so on. In that case, then there is a Hefsa to the Kohanim. So once I was Zorik the Dam, then the Kohanim have a right to that. Or if we're going to say that, no, the Zrika was Pasol, Rabbi Yoshua never said the Zrika was Pasol. Rabbi Yoshua was talking about a case where there was no Basar. There he says the Zrika is Pasol. You're right. But in a case where the Zrika was on Basar that was treif, or it was on Basar that was Yotze, it was on Basar that was Tameh. In that case, Rabbi Yoshua said, don't be Zorik. But he never said if it was Zorik and you discovered the issue later. He never said that in such a case, the Kohanim should not be given the R. He agrees to me, says Rebbe. Absolutely. Give the Kohanim the R. There I feel Rebbe Yoshua made that because Rebbe Yoshua is made that in a case where there was Basar extant in the world, But it was possible. So even though he holds the chathila, you do not actually do a zrika, but he is made that bidi avad, the zrika would be kosher in that case. The Tanya, nitma basar o nifsal. Let's say something happened to this meat that passed it, or it was yotze. Rabbi Eliezer says, be zorik the dam. Rabbi Yeshua says, don't be zorik the dam. But made Rabbi Yeshua she'im zorak adam, that it would be urza. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua holds, if the basar exists, then we don't say the pity of the zrika was useless. The zrika, if it was done where the basar exists, even if the mizbeach wasn't allowed to have that basar, nonetheless, the carbon was urza. So then that means, if this is what he himself says, bidiyavad, so Rebbe says, so in the case where there is nothing at all to be zorokin in the basar, if the dam had been zoruk, it's going to be matir di or to the kohanim. Because even though it's true that you're not going to be able to be matir di or the oila for the owner in that case, but the zrika, when he said he main basar ain dam, it doesn't mean that if the zrika had been done, that it was not going to be machshir the or. Therefore, I taina that we are not talking about a case that I have to be going not like Rabbi Yeshua. I argue on you, even in the case of Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore, I say that there's an afkamina between the meat not existing or where the meat is possible. That's what I want you to understand. Okay, now let's take a look at Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim. So Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim, listen, I never saw such a thing, I never heard of such a thing. Whoever saw or that was being taken out to the Beit HaSreifa? Now that's a ridiculous statement. I mean, obviously, there are karbonas that you're mechuyev to take out with you. What about the Purim HaNisrafim? What about the Seirim HaNisrafim? All of those karbonas, we're talking about the Kpar Koy Mashiach, Parholam Tov Shal Tzibur, the Seirei of the Kechavim, the Par Veser Shiyom HaKippurim. What are you supposed to do with the or on those karbonas? They're burnt. It says Beferish, Oram. You burn them outside together with the basar. So how could he say, I never heard of such a thing? That makes no sense. I mean, Harei Parham and Yisrof and Seirem and Yisrof. No one. Obviously. Lemitzvasam Lo Kamrinan. He meant to say, I never saw or on its own because it was puzzle. Of course, I know that the Torah says in those cases that that's the mitzvah. That's the way to do it. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about our conversation, which is if something went wrong with it. Well, hold on a second. How about the korbanos that became puzzle before Hefshet and before Zrika? So, I mean, in that case, Rebbe agrees and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon agree that if the basar became pasul before Hefshet and before the Zrika, so then, of course, it's not going to be kosher. You have to burn the or. Rebbe holds stump. Wherever the or is connected to the basar, it has the same din as the basar. So I have to burn it. I'll have to burn the or. And Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon holds, there's nothing to do with it because I can't be zorek the dam on the or itself. So I'm going to have to burn it. So how could Rabbi Chanina say, I never saw such a thing? No. Rabbi Chanina meant I never saw or that was chalutz. You're talking about a case where the or is still connected to the basar. Of course he saw cases like that. But you're telling me that you hold that if the or was removed, that then it would be burnt on its own. I never saw such a thing. So he was only talking about the chalutz. Okay, let's say he's even talking about chalutz. How about, according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon? I mean, what is he saying? After a hefshet, according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, but before Zrika, you can't do a Zrika now. So then Rebbe Chanina is basically saying, I don't hold Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is imaginary. Such thing never occurred. I've been there for years. I never saw such a thing. I mean, like, what is he coming to say that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is wrong? Yes, exactly. Rabbi Chanina held like Rabbi. And that's what he's bringing out. There would never be a case if you took the or out before the basar was nifsal. So then just because the busser was Nifsal, that doesn't make it a problem. Since I hold like Rebbe, we would have done Zrika anyway. So why in the world would we burn the R? And that's what he's saying. In my experience, the halakha l'maisa was like Rebbe. Now, I took it for granted that having never seen such a thing, that that's the way everyone is naik. Or you know what? Look, it could be that even if you want to say that Rebbe Chanina is ready to believe that there is such halakha, like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, but remember that it never happens, right? Because like we said before, even Rebbe agreed when we were explaining that the Mishnah could be going like Rebbe, even Rebbe agrees there's no such thing as a case where a Kohen would do Hefshet before Zrika, because as soon as we have blood, we immediately use it in order to prevent it from coagulating. So that's what Rebbe Chanina was saying. I never saw such a thing, because in order to see such a thing, you would have had to done the Hefshet before you did the Zrika. But that never happened. That's all he's saying. So I never saw that. Well, wait. But what about something that is very common? What about if you find that the animal was a trefa? You did the whole carbon. Everything was great, right? And you thought everything was wonderful. And now you're cutting it up. And now all of a sudden you find, you couldn't have seen this while it was alive. You find a hole in the intestines. There's no way you could find that hole in the intestines before. But over here you did everything. And that's the type of thing that happens all the time. I mean, ask in any butcher shop. That is the problem that's going to come about if you find trefus after you think you've got a kosher animal, right? So what about a case like that? If there was niptus trefa b'vnei me'ayim, so then for sure it was puzzled before. And that means that I did the zrika while the R was attached to the busser, and the busser was puzzled because it was a trefa. So if according to Rebbe, for sure it's puzzle because it was attached at that time to the busser, and it's trefa. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, if there's a psul before the zrika, then the zrika is not matir the R. So that's something that happens every Monday and Thursday. I mean, how is Rebbe Chanina's kind of calling him saying, I never saw something that everybody agrees, both Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, would agree that over there, after it was skinned, and then hours later, I discovered that I'd been a trefa b'shar shchita even. So, of course, it was puzzle. So how does Rebbe Chanina say, I never saw such a thing? Because Rebbe Chanina holds, dafka, that if you find a trefa ex post facto, and you find a trefa in the organs that you couldn't see before, so nimtras trefa b'vnei me'ayim, then the actual zrika is effective. Because since I found over there the trefus only after I had taken off the R and after there was zrika, so then the fact that later on I discover it, okay, that doesn't matter. It's basically the equivalent of creating a new halacha now. In now that I say it was trefa, but up until now, this is what we did, and we did it lahalacha, right? We did the zrika kalacha, we did the hefshet kalacha. The fact that ex post facto you explain something, discover something that must have been there ex post facto, but was not meant to be correlated with any halachic determination, doesn't change the halacha in the past. So therefore, Rebbe Chanina says, once it was done properly, it was actually kosher. And therefore that R, if the R is here, had a kosher zrika done to it, and everybody would be made that it's usable. So, and that's dafka, the whole point that Rabbi Akiva was making. Look, take a nami. Take a look at what Rabbi Akiva said. Look what we learn from this statement of Rabbi Chanina Skanakoani. And I'll ask you, how do we learn that if this is not true? Diktani, Omar Rebbe Akiva, Midvarav Lamadnu, from here we see that if you went ahead and you skin a Bechor, and it turns out that that Bechor was a Trefa, Shia'utu HaKohanim Be'oro. So, and then that means that this is how he understood, Rebbe Akiva understood this in Rebbe Chanina's Kana Kohanim. What are you telling me? It doesn't make sense unless we say, that's exactly what Rebbe Akiva says. Shma Mina. Rabbi Akiva is pointing out that it's clear from Rabbi Chanina that if ex post facto you find out that it was a treifa retroactively, that's not going to change the halacha. And that's what he says beferish. But then I don't understand. So why do I need Rabbi Akiva? I'm confused. If this is what Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim has to mean, you're saying this is the simple meaning of it, right? And that means that if I read the Mishnah without Rabbi Akiva, I have no other way of understanding Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim, because how he could possibly say that he never saw something that happens every Monday and Thursday. So what is Rabbi Akiva adding then? I know how to read. So then Elamai Kamashman on Rabbi Akiva. I'll tell you, he's telling us a big Kiddush. He wasn't talking about the Beis HaMikdash. He was talking about a Bechor that was a Balmum, and it's not near the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the din of a Bechor Balmum? It's given to Kohanim, and the Kohen goes ahead, and he shechs that Bechor, and now he discovers that, of course, he's talking about a Bechor Balmum, obviously, otherwise he can't do it, but he takes the Bechor after we checked it out. Remember, we have to make sure that it was honest, that it really was a Balmum before. I mean, the whole thing requires a mumche to see it and the whole thing, fine. But we're assuming we did all of that, right? So now we've got a Bechor that is suddenly discovered after its Shechita. It turns out that it was a Treifa, so the Shechita was not matir its basar. So does the or now become usher? That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying, that in the same way that we don't change the halacha ex post facto because of something that was discovered to have been existing retroactively, that would be exactly the same din in terms of the or of a Bechor Balmum that was shechted somewhere else, not in the Beis HaMikdash, because if it was at the time that you did the Shechita and the time that you took the or, it was kosher, we don't make it non-kosher afterwards. And that's exactly what he says. You've got to extend Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim even to cases of a Bechor Balmum. But Enoch Inami, the only way to understand Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim was to recognize that that is the effective halacha when it comes to all the korbanas, and that we're not going to now make something usher after it was already mutter. Omer Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, indeed, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. But don't forget, even Rabbi Akiva, who said that the Kohanim get to keep that, or in the case where you shechted a Bechor that was a Balmum, it had to have been certified as a Balmum. Otherwise, we don't trust these Kohanim as far as we can throw them. And they're always finding excuses to shecht Bechors. And therefore, it's only kishehitiro mumche, we have our takona, that you have to have somebody that knows what he's doing and determines that this is actually a mum that you're able to shecht on after getting his certification that he can shecht it. Then it turns out there was a treifa. That's when Rabbi Akiva said that we understand from Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim that it doesn't become usher. Obviously, the behemah can't be eaten because it's treif, but the or is retained by the Kohanim.
And you think there's a relationship between mum and mumche? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is interesting.
And we maybe said it, just prompted it.
Yeah, wow. Never thought of that. Weird. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, hilchata k'divrei chachamim. So first of all, we paskin like the chachamim who say, not like Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim, and they say that actually we would be motzei l'sreifa, And the fact that Rabbi Chanina says, I never saw such thing, doesn't prove anything. Because, look, Lamaisa, not seeing something doesn't prove that it isn't true. And therefore, the din would be that it would be Bisrefa. This other stuff, the Bosra Bikvura, or Rashi says was put in there by some Talmud, didn't know what the heck he was talking about, because we're talking over here about the original halach. We're not talking about the application to the Bechor Balmum. So this would be true, Bechlal, about any korban. Naturally, the Rambam makes trouble as usual by driving us crazy, as the Ravid said, by apparently having a different Torah than we have and always making clear, and damn it, he turns out to be right so often I can't say anything about it. That's what the Rebbe says. If I didn't know the job that he did, now he always turns out to be right. I'd swear he just does this to drive us crazy. Okay. So actually, so the Rambam paskins that this is a din. Specifically, this last piece was actually referring to the Bukhar that was a treifa, and that the or is actually Nisraf. Nobody knows. Okay, why is that true? But anyway, we reach that very special moment on a Mitzvah Shabbos in which Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach Velo Efchad, and we've got our very own Richie to make that happen. Give us that sense of security that we need. Nobody's going to be bumping into any kind of icebergs or anything like that. You can be sure that you're in the hands of an absolutely reliable Capitan. Go ahead, Sir Richard.
Zok de heilige Mishnah.
Excellent, excellent. I see that you had a chance to rest up over Shabbos. You seem to be in good shape, Baruch Hashem. Okay, now we've got a whole other sugya, which is we're talking about. We raise the question, okay, what do we do with the bar, with the or? Is it Yotzila Beta Sreifa? And we touched on the question while we were trying to figure out what Rebbe Chanina's Kanakonim was, and that obviously he wasn't referring to the korbanos that have a mitzvah to be burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, I saw that, or I was talking about these crazy cases. But once we raised those issues, and we started talking about the dinim of sreifa, where precisely do we do that sreifa? That's our question. Where the Torah Bedavka tells us the din of Sreifa. And remember that in all of those cases, we learn out that the person who actually was involved in taking it out and in burning it, his begot had become Tameh, and through his Tuma, and he has to be made himself Tar before he comes back into the Machana. So we're opening up those halachas to figure out at what point and where this all happens. So the Purim that are Nisrafim and the Seirim that are Nisrafim. And we said there's many such cases, right? So we've got the Par Elam Davashot Sibur, and we've got the Par Koin Mashiach. We've got the Seirim of Seirei Avodes Kechavim. We have the Purim and Seirim of Yom HaKippurim. So when everything is right, and you did all the Zrika Kehalocha, and now they're Nisrafim Kemitzvatam. There was no psul that was found in them, and so on. So then we go according to what the Torah said to do with it. And there, that would mean that they are Nisraf in the special place that was called the Beit Hadeshen, and they would also be Mitame, the Begadim of the people that were Isaac in them, because that was the halacha that was said beferish in the Torah. As long as we did it correctly, so then everything would be good. So remember, we're going to see that we have the different machanais in the Midbar. So we have the Machane Shechina, the Machane Levia, and the Machane Yisrael. The question is, when we say Michutz L'Machane, that leaves us a little bit confused, because Michutz L'Machane could mean any of the above, right? Is it maybe even in the Machane Yisrael, but it's Michutz L'Machane Levia? Or is it Michutz the Chatzar of the Mishkan, and therefore it's out of the Machane Shechina? Or is it outside of all three Machanos? In which case, in contemporary terms, outside of all three Machanos would mean that it was outside of Yerushalayim. So even today, with the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, so we have the Machane Shechina, which is the Azorah itself, of course, including the Heichal. And then we have the Har HaBayit, which is the equivalent of the Machane Levi'im in the Midbar. And then we have the entire Ir Yerushalayim, which had the din of Machane Yisrael. Now, it turns out that there's a Beit HaDeshen in each one of these Machanais. And therefore, we're going to need to define what goes where and at what point the people that are Isaac in them are going to be Mitami, their begotten. So they are in the Beis HaDeshen. We're going to see that this Beis HaDeshen means the Beis HaDeshen at Schutz Yerushalayim. And they are also Mitame, their begotten. because it says beferish that has sorefotam yechabes begadav v'rachatzet besaro b'mayim v'acharechen yavo el hamachane. So even though that was referring to the part of Yom Kippur, but nonetheless we learn out, and we actually saw this before a couple of weeks ago, that this is true of all the Purim and Seirim HaNisrafim. Of course, there's one other case of a Nisraf, and that is the Parah Aduma, where also over there the Torah says, Beferish, that there's a din of Tumas Begadim. So they are all Nisrafim Bebet Habira, and Nisraf Bebet Hadeshan, but what about in a Nisrafim Kemitzvatam? How about if something went wrong, and now we're not able to do the mitzvah the way the Torah told us? So then if something went wrong, then they have a different din. Let's say there was a Machshavas Pigel or something like that, right? So this is now a korban that's pasul. Then the din is that they're Nisrafim in the Beit HaBira. We're going to see what that means, but it means somewhere, it means that could mean in the Harabayas, or it could mean in the Azor. We're going to see in the Gemara that follows. And they're Nisravim Beit HaBira, and the people that are being Isaac in them, since they're not Isaac in the mitzvah of the Srefa, they are not Mitame Begadim, because then I'm not burning them because of the dinim of the Chatas. I'm just burning them because they are Kachim Psulim. And Kachim Psulim is burned like any other Kachim Psulim, and it's burned not in this special Shefach Hadeshen and so on. That's a special din for the Nisrafim. But these are not Nisrafim. They're only burned because they're Psulim. Because of that, all of the dinim of Tumas Begadim do not apply. Now, what was the way that this was actually done? If we're talking about being Metame Begadim, Hayusav Limotot Bimotot. So basically, they would carry the korban that was the mitzvah to burn. They would carry it on these poles. So it was, they would have people behind holding up these poles and people in front holding the poles. And Yotza Rishonim Chutz L'Chomata Azara, the moment that the people are in front come out of the Azara, that means not out of Yerushalayim, the moment that they come outside of the Azara, even the Achronim did not come out. Those that walked out of the Azara are Metame Begadim at that point, while the ones that are not yet Yotze Min Azara, the Achronim, they're in a Metamim until such time that they actually go out. So they're not Metame Begadim, Achi Yetzu. Now, after they come out, so then everybody is Metame, and then Yotzu Elu Ve'elu are Metamim Begadim. Rabbi Shimon says, the Tumas Begadim is not a function of when you carry them out. The Tumas Begadim is a function of when they start actually burning to the extent that most of the Basar has caught on fire. And therefore, it's not called Asorefotam until the fire has burned most of it. And we'll see where all of this comes from the Psukim. Once Nitacha Basar, so once the basar has been burnt up and now somebody else comes and he adds sreifa by pushing it or whatever, at that point he is not going to be metame begadim because it's already not considered to be basar. All of this we're going to see the diyukim in the psukim. Anyway, you said that which should be burnt in the Beit HaBira. What exactly is that? Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Mokom Yesh Baharabayit. This is a reference to a Mokom Srefa that was in the Harabayit, and that it was called Bira. Bira Shemo. Resh Lakish says, no, the word Bira is actually a synonym for the entire area of the Beis HaMikdash, which includes, indeed, it includes the entire Har HaBayit, but it also includes the Azara, because you see, that David HaMelech, when he was mispalel, that his son Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should give Shlomo the ability to build Habira Asher HaChinoti, obviously referring to the Beis HaMikdash, that I prepared everything for him. I dug the foundations. I got all the money together. I arranged all the political issues. That's what he's saying. And he calls it Habira Asher HaChinoti. So obviously it's the whole thing. Shenema Habira Asher HaChinoti. Now, in reality, says the Gemara, there were three different Beit HaDeshens, and each one of them was used for something else. Omrim Nachon Omer Rabba Bar, Vuhashvosha Beit Deshanim, the Beit HaDeshen HaGadon, there was a place where things that became puzzle in the Azara, some Sorfim Psule Kotche Kotchim, Veimurim Kotchim Kalim, things that are kotche kotchim, and they're not allowed to be taken out of the Azara. If they become posel, they're burnt in the Azara. The same thing is true about the Imurim of Kotchim Kalim, which have the same din of a psul yotzi. You're not allowed to take them out. So those things that would be burnt there. Purim anisrafim and Seirim anisrafim, that if they were kosher, would have been taken out to the third most distant Beit HaDesh that was outside of Yerushalayim. But if they became pasul before the Zrika, then they're no different than any other Kotche Kotchim that became pasul, and therefore they were burned in the Azara in the Beit HaDesh HaGadol. Now, there was also another Beit HaDesh HaAcher Haya Behar HaBayit. So in the Har HaBayit outside of the Azara, there, Sarfim Porima Nisrafim, Visirima Nisrafim, Shirabem Psul Achar Hazrika. So if the Psul was after the Zrika took place, then since it was already the time for them to be removed, and then something happened, so once they were meant to be removed, then we burn them, we remove them, and we burn them outside. But since they're not being done bekashras, and they're not therefore meant to be put on the Shefach HaDeshen, which is outside of Yerushalayim, we don't put them on the Shefach HaDeshen, but neither do we burn them in the Azara. And that was the place that was in between. So it was in the Har HaBayit, and that's what we were referring to when we said Beit HaBira. But if they are kemitzvatan, if they're parim anisrafim and sirim anisrafim, where there was no psul, then we take them all the way out, chutz l'shalosh machanot, which that's in terms of the machanot in the midbar, and in terms of the contemporary situation outside of Yerushalayim. Now, not everybody agrees with that precise definition, because Levi had a braita that also spoke about Shlosha Batei Deshen, Shlosha Beit Deshanimen. So there was the Beit HaDeshen HaGadol in the Azara, and that indeed was the place to be Sorev Psule Kotche Kotchim, and Imurim Kotchim Kalim. And now here's where Levi disagrees. And you also would burn in the Azara the Purim HaNisrafim and Asirim HaNisrafim that became Apostle, even if the psul took place with Achar HaZrika. That's what Levi holds. So Sheira ben psul, ben kedem zrika, ben li Achar zrika. So all that matters is not whether they were meant already to be taken out, but whether they were taken out. So if the psul happens while they're still in the Azara, then we burn it in the Azara. And he disagrees with our brisa that we quoted a minute before, that once we are at a stage where we could have been taking out, then we take it out to burn it. Not so, says Levi. Now, the Purim HaNisrafim and the Seirim HaNisrafim are burnt there. There was another Beit HaDeshen that was outside of the Azara, and it was in the Har HaBayit, and that is where you would burn the Purim HaNisrafim and the Seirim HaNisrafim, where the psul happened after they already were taken out of the Azara. So according to Levi, it's not a question of at what point in the Heter to take them out of the Azara. It's the question, where did it happen? So if the psul happens in the Azara, burn it in the Azara. If the psul happens outside of the Azara, then burn it in the Harabayit. How about kemitzvatan? Yes, kemitzvatan, of course. I agree, is chutz l'sholosh machanot. Now the question is, when you say it's psul, what psul do we mean? Let's say that it was kept overnight, you know. Is there a psul lina on something that is not meant to be eaten anyway? Remember that lina is always called a problem in the tzura of the basar. It means the basar is already rotted. But over here, there's no basar that's going to be eaten anyway. So my question is, lina, ma'u she'to'il b'parim ha'nisrafim u'b'se'irim ha'nisrafim. On the one hand, we could say that, look, lina is something that has to do with basar, because it's bar achila, and that's the idea. I mean, if it's no longer fresh meat, so to say, so then its tzura has been mekulkal, and there, that's why that's important, because you're talking about edibles. Avalhani, these things are meant to be burned. They're not b'nei achila, ninu. So the question of lina is irrelevant, perhaps. Odim aloshna, or maybe, look, bottom line is the Torah says there's a din of lina. It didn't say not to apply it to the basar of the nisrafim. So, I don't know. Do I have a right to judge that it should not be lina? Oh, my Rava, you know, that question that you're asking, Abaya asked that question to me, and I answered him from a raya. I'll tell you what my raya was. Ho milti boili le Abaya, upashtana le miha, v'shavin she'im chishev. So, over here we have the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachami, that if a Kohen had a makshevas pigo during any of the Avedas Hadam, and he was thinking about a makshevas pigo, about achilas porim, he was going to eat the basar of the porim on Nisrafim, or he was going to be seref them in outside of Yerushalayim. That's ridiculous. That's not called pigo, because the pigo would have to be either something that was royal mizbeach, for Achilas Mizbeach, or for Achilas Adam. But over here, it was neither. Now, I mean, if that's true, so I said to Abaye, my lab, that if there's no psul makshava, so then there should be no psul of lina either. It means we don't treat it the way that we treat. Because look, lina essentially is what? Is doing, making something nosa, right? So as we've always pointed out, the Machsheves Pigel of Chutz Lizmano is essentially a virtual noser. So then that would mean that if there's no virtual lina, then there's no lina either. I mean, that's what I would think. So therefore, lina also wouldn't pass, so because it didn't fit the rules of Pigel. I don't know, says the Gemara. I mean, the fact that Machshava doesn't pass, a Machshava is very strictly delineated about a Machshava of something that was Roy Frachilas Mizbeach or Achilas Adam. I mean, the fact that it would actually be Lan, why would you necessarily say that that means they don't become Pussel? All right. Let me bring you Raya from the Mishnah Me'ilah. Parim HaNisrafim, Usi'irim HaNisrafim, the moment that you make them Kodesh, so then, obviously, they are Kodesh Hashem, and you could be mail on them, and you'll have to pay the additional 25%, and you'll have to bring a Korban Me'ilah, and they are actually completely roy for all the dinim of Kodesh. Now, the moment that you shech them, at that moment, they also become roy to become possible if a Tvuyom touches them, or a Mechusar Kippurim touches them, or if they stayed overnight. Now, what do you think it's talking about, staying overnight? I mean, I'm assuming it's talking about to what lina normally refers to. It would include the lina of the basar. So it's saying after you shechted the Parman Nisrafim, lina would pass to the basar. Marlav lina's basars, you see? That even the Purim HaNisrafim are psulim b'linas basar. Not necessarily. Maybe it means the lina of the emurim that were meant for the Mizbeach. But the basar doesn't have any meaning at all. It's meant to be burned. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, read further in that Mishnah, okay? And it was Dafka talking about the basar. Because it says in all those cases of the Purim and Seirim, they are considered to be mechayev you in Me'ilah, even when they're already on the Beit HaDeshen, until the meat has literally been burnt. So it's not considered to be nasi mitzvosei, and you're mayo on it. So what is that referring to? That's referring to the basar. I mean, that's what's burned, isn't it? So, I mean, if the Sefer was talking about the basar and the halacha me'ilah of the basar, it seems to me that the Reisha, when it was talking about Lina, was talking about the basar too, no? No. It seems to you. Well, it doesn't seem to me. You know, mini Iri, I mean, what kind of Raya is that? I mean, each part of the mission is referring to what is relevant to that din. I mean, the Sefer was talking about, the Basar was talking about Me'ilah, the Reisha was talking about the Emurim because he's talking about Lina. What kind of weird Raya is that? Okay. I'll bring a Raya from here. Tashma. We had that Raya from Levi that we read a minute ago. The Tani Levi. See, he was telling me all of the things that are burned in different places, right? And he said, on the Beit HaDeshen that was in the Harabayit, you went ahead and burnt anything where Ira ben Sul b'yitziyata. So they had already been taken out. And then, if they're not in the Azera, then you burn them in the Harabayit in the second Beit HaDeshen. Now, when it says a psul, doesn't that mean the psul of Lina, which means that Lina apostles? No. Maybe it means the psul of Tuma, you know? Maybe it means the psul of Yotze. I don't understand. Why in the world are we talking specifically about Lina? What makes you think that? And even the ones that are supposed to be burned, if you took them out of the Azora before Zrika, they would be Pasul B'Yotze. So it could even be a Psul of Yotze, even though they're disrupting outside. So sorry, I don't see any Raya from there either. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you just made me think of something. Are they Pasul B'Yotze? Boy, Rebbe Elazar. How about Yotze? Does Yotze pass on the Purim and Nisrofim and the Seirim and Nisrofim? Huh? Well, I understand. How could Yotze be puzzle if they're meant to be taken out? What is he talking about? I'll tell you what he's talking about. It's making a lot of sense to me. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Remember that we had the whole question of Reish Lakish. And what was the din over there by Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish wanted to know whether something that in the end was going to be taken out, and that was referring, he was talking about the case of Kachim Kalin, right? So he said, well, you can't pass the bus of Kachim Kalin because it's meant to be taken out after Zrika. So in the end, it's going to be taken out. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. In the end, it's going to be taken out. So why would it be possible by taking it out? And Reish Lakish says, well, excuse me, that's not true. Right now, lo higi hazman latzeit, right? Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Do we say that in this case, aliba demandi amar adayin lo higi hazman latzeit? So remember, Reish Lakish says, look, if it's not time for it to go out, then it becomes possible. So would Reish Lakish say the same way that he said that about Kachi Kalin, the bus of Kachi Kalin? Would he say that about these Purim v'Nisrofim? Why not? Right now it's before Zrika. It's not time to take them out. Yeah, well, wait a minute. There's a difference. The bus of Kachi Kalin, does it have to be taken out? No, it can be taken out. I mean, if you want to eat the buzzer of Kachim Kalim in the Azora, can you? Yeah, sure. Why not? You can even eat it in Yerushalayim, but you don't have to take it out. So that's why Reish Lakish says, look, I mean, it's not time to take it out right now. You're not allowed to take it out, so it's Nifsa. But over here, maybe even Reish Lakish would agree. Because these cases, you absolutely must take it out. So maybe Reish Lakish says, well, you know, if it's got to be taken out, then even I agree that you can't puzzle the Yotze. That's what I'm asking. So according to Reish Lakish, who said, "Dayin lo higi hazman latzeit," mi amrinan hanimi le basar of kachim kalim, because there's no chiyev to be Yotze. Mashenkin over here, the Purim and Tzirim and Nisrofim, the Sofim, Letzit Chova, they have to go out. Maybe he wouldn't have said that. Maybe he would agree that Yitzia does not passel them even before Zrika. Would he even say in this case, Lo igiyaz mano letzit? That's what I want to know. How far would Reish Lakish go on this? Well, I can bring a riot to that also from the Brisa of Levi. Tashma, of course, this is the same riot we brought before. It's just that whatever you want to say about one, I'll say the opposite. If you want to say the psul was in Yotze, then I'll tell you, no, maybe the psul was in Lina. So you can't prove Yotze is a psul. If you want to prove Lina is a psul, I'll say, no, maybe the psul is Yotze. So therefore, you don't really know what happened over there, right? So you can't bring a riot. That's obviously what's going to happen over here. So Tashma to Tani Levi, it says if something happened on the way out, what happened on the way out that it was Yotze before Zrika? No, maybe it means Lina, you know? Maybe it's a psul tuma or psul Lina. And therefore, you would not have any raya from Levi. Whew. Oh, man. Heavy duty. This is incredible stuff. Well, it's like a whole new world has opened up here just in terms of these dim. You think this is bad? Wait till we introduce all of the halachas tomorrow about this, about the tumas begadim and at which stage it becomes tameh and the issue of sofer tameh tuma chamura. We've got an exciting day tomorrow. Make sure that you're not late. All right, everyone. Don't forget, it's unfortunately the first of the Yemei Chayshech. And it's not time to read the Chumash in Greek unless you know how. Shavua Tov u'Mevorach.